Hello, and welcome to The Analytic Angle, a podcast brought to you from the Statistics, Data Science, and Data Management Corps in the HIV Center at the New York State Psychiatric Institute and Columbia University. In this episode, we introduce ourselves and discuss what brought us to pursue our respective careers in public health and data science, and what eventually led us to be part of the HIV Center. Hi, this is Kale.
Hi, this is Martina.
Hi, this is Richard.
Welcome to our podcast today. This is going to be the first episode of our podcast where we discuss all sorts of topics that are relevant to the HIV Center and their investigators. That's going to include biostatistics, statistics, database management, grant writing, epidemiology, even perhaps clinical interventions if we ever have some interviews with other center researchers. And to start the podcast off, we thought we would take some time today to introduce ourselves and talk a little bit about our background and how we ended up at the HIV Center. So let's go ahead and start off with Martina.
Hi, so my full name is Martina Pavlikova, and I am an associate professor of biostatistics at CUIMC, at Biostatistics Department in Mailman School of Public Health. And I am really interested in clinical trials, and I was happy to start working with HIV Center. Now it's 7 years ago, and I like to continue the work.
And what's your role at the HIV Center?
I am actually a director of the statistical core, and my role there is possibly to help with consultations and with sort of tasks that we have selected for the core. How about you, Kale?
My name is Kale Basaraba, and I am a data scientist, and I work technically in the Mental Health Data Science Division at the New York State Psychiatric Institute. And as part of my job, I am also part of the Statistics and Data Management Corps at the HIV Center. And I work directly with Martina, where we provide consultation and grant support, as well as working on certain aims of the HIV Center grant, which include recording things like this podcast and producing other educational material for HIV Center investigators to check out and learn something about these topics. And what about you, Richard?
What about me? Oh, who am I? Yes, my name is Richard Buxbaum. I am technically head of something called the Data Management Unit in the Biostatistics Department. Basically one of just a few sort of open data management teams on the CUIMC campus. Most data management is attached to a particular project or a particular department, something like that. We're a freelance, we hung our shingle out, and anybody can come and work with us. But we were brought on, Martina, as we're colleagues in Biostats, brought me on to talk about data management, to be a data management resource to the HIV Center, to help with needs assessments, data sharing, et cetera, topics of data capture, data mining, things like that for the investigators in the center. So, Martina, how did you... I'm always curious as to how someone gets into statistics. It seems, little children don't go, I'm going to grow up to be a statistician one day. So what was appealing about the area for you?
That's a great question. But I did not start as a statistician. I started in a field of econometrics, and that was my major, and that's what is my first master degree from. Because I actually went to university the year after the change and the fall of communism in Czech Republic, and statistics was not a field of science that was promoted during communism. The only field of science that was promoted was theoretical probability. Statistics has this tendency of figuring out trends, and communism was really not interested in having any statistical results about their economy, their people, the quality of life, and so on. So statistics was not a science really that would be taught at university. So I started as an econometrics major. I graduated with a master degree in 1995, and at that time that was very hard to find credible jobs on a job market, and I did not like the way how my colleagues looked at the econometrics field and how they were using the results. So I decided to move into a field that has less money involved. And at that time, it was really interesting for me to move into a statistics, and I was interested in sort of modeling random fields. And I started my PhD in a statistics department in Academy of Science. But unfortunately, as a result of the past communism, that field was extremely, extremely theoretical. There was I spent 2 years on PhD in statistics without actually ever seeing any data. I could prove a theorem about regression, but I didn't know how to analyze a simple regression. I didn't even know how to run it. And I didn't like that. I am a much more applied person, so my next step was to go to USA to apply again to statistics to sort of be able to study in a more applied world. So I applied to Ohio State, had to do again a master degree. So I have a second master degree from statistics, and then I continue on my PhD. So long story short, I picked a field with less money involved. Hence, I am in statistics.
That's so fascinating to me. Immigration, I find just fascinating in general. Why the United States? You spoke English, or you didn't? Britain wasn't appealing to you, or why? Why all the way to the U.S. of A.?
That's quite. Yeah. Also, I did not speak any English. I was a German major, so at that time I spoke fluently German, Russian, Polish, and Czech, but zero English. However, in terms of international relationships, it was very hard for us to go. It was impossible to go to study to UK. There were no ways how to get in. There was a little bit possibility to go study to Canada, but was very hard in 1994, 1995, was very hard to find any information how to apply to Canada studies. And the only thing that I could find was a couple of departments in the United States that had their first websites. We wrote, so with my friends, they helped me to write on those, for those departments, they send us paper application. We had to, I filled out the paper application and send them back. That was the only way that was feasible in 1995. I started in 1997, so around 1995, I started filling out those applications. It was the 2-year-long process.
That's amazing. So nothing was available in Germany or something more congenial to you. You basically applied to what you could get access to.
United Nations, European Union, the way how it exists now did not exist at that time. And for former Eastern European countries or former, you know, Soviet Union bloc, was not possible for us to work there or apply there unless we would pay for ourselves. But at that time, I had to work for 2 years to even make money to be able to pay the application fees for the universities, and that was incredibly detrimental amount of money cost for me. So no, we could. The only available countries were, I believe, Canada, but the informations were very hard to find, and United States, which was easier to find the information. Yeah, so that's how I ended up here.
And what about you, Richard? How did you become the head of a data management unit and the guru of all things databasing and data management?
Well, if only any of that were true, that would be an interesting story. But seeing as it isn't, but I have nothing quite so dramatic. That was incredibly dramatic, and now I feel, duty bound to pump up my own biography, but I'll do the best I can. I was, like many young people, I had moved to New York. I fell in love with New York as a teenager. I was from all around the East Coast of the U.S. and I just wanted to come to New York in the early 80s. I'm very, very old. And came here and had a number of jobs and fell into working for a publishing company that published reference materials for the advertising industry. Very, very dull. But they had a database programmer because they would get these data on enormous reels of tape from the television and radio rating services, Arbitron and Nielsen agencies and that sort of thing. And they would process them to estimate ratings for various programs and costs and things that advertising agencies would use to create their budgets, all of which were in those days, in the pre-internet days, as Martina referenced, published in huge quarterly reference books that would come out. And there was a database programmer for this small company doing that, and he was kind of a jerk. And I thought, if that guy can do it, I could do it. And this was at a very interesting time in the software world in the late 80s and early 90s, where it was moving from a very sort of recherche, closed world where you need a lot of special training to get into computer software to the more open world we have today, not quite as open as today, but where software was more readily accessible and training was more readily accessible. And in fact, my first database software was Microsoft software. And Microsoft, you could call for free technical support 24 hours a day.
Really?
And you would call Seattle.
Wow.
And they would put you on a helpline with local Seattle DJs who would play music. And in between the songs, instead of advertising local businesses, they would say things like, well, there's 27 people in the Microsoft Word queue waiting for technical support. And then they would let you know how long you were going to wait for your technical support. And God bless them, Microsoft technical support essentially taught me programming for free in the early 1990s. And so this was database software. And from that company, I moved to several others. And eventually ended up working at a printing and paper company in Soho. And they wanted sort of integrated software, job tracking, and so that it would be their billing, but also their logistical software and their inventory, all in a unified system, which we helped create. This was in the pre-packages of things like QuickBooks Now, which mm-hmm. does all that stuff for you. And so that was my orientation, was business. And not just business, but business data in terms of managing large data sets, but also logistical support, you might say, logistical applications. And so, and then just again to emphasize how incredibly old I am, I answered a job ad in the New York Times.
Wow.
For
nice.
a position in epidemiology at Columbia University,
incredible.
Where they were establishing a data coordinating center for a breast cancer cohort. And that was, in a few months, it will be 25 years ago.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. But moved from epidemiology to some very large clinical trials, which of course, were done in those days and really are the thing of the past, at least government-funded clinical trials. And before long, had experience with a whole range of scientific work. And so we thought, well, we should take this experience and infrastructure and make it available to the community at large, which is what we did with the data management unit. And here we are today.
Nice.
Was that vaguely entertaining?
It was, Richard.
Story.
But Kale, what's your incredible story?
Richard, you said that you didn't have a dramatic or interesting backstory, but that was a pretty good tale.
Presentation is everything.
I think it sounds like, you know, a running theme with the three of us is that we weren't sort of straight arrow, like directly knew that we were going to be in this field from when we were little kids or anything. And that's the same for me as well. I went to college and I studied topics that were pretty abstract and unrelated to health sciences. And then when I graduated in the 2007-2008 period, there were no jobs available, and I became a middle school teacher for a few years. And I enjoyed teaching a lot, but it wasn't the profession for me to be a middle school teacher forever. And so I was always kind of looking for different opportunities. And actually, funny enough, it was a podcast that led me to public health, a podcast called
Really?
This Week in Virology, which is run by Vincent Racchianello out of Columbia University.
Huh.
And it's a great podcast. It's still running to this day. And it got me really interested in virology, and because I had more of a math background in epidemiology as well. And I would wander around New York, kind of listless, thinking about what kind of job I'd want to do. And I listened to this podcast, and it motivated me to get interested in public health. And I ended up applying to get a master's degree in epidemiology. And once I was in the program and studying epidemiology, I got really into methods and biostatistics. And then I went forward from there to enroll in the PhD program in epidemiology and continue my studies. And during that period, I also got the position that I have today, which is working as a data scientist in the mental health data science group at NISPE. And so that was my path as well, a little bit winding around. But it's funny to be talking about this on a podcast now, because really I owe my career in public health to that original podcast in virology about 10, 12 years ago or so when I first listened to it.
It's a full circle.
It's a full circle back to podcasting.
So we are going to create a fun podcast with a lot of fun episodes.
If you like this, guess what? You're going to get more of it. So.
Sounds good.
Fingers crossed.
On that note, you'll hear from us next time.
And this concludes the second episode of our podcast, The Analytic Angle, from the Statistics, Data Science, and Data Management Core in HIV Center for Clinical and Behavioral Studies.